I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
You're listening to How Do You Hustle? I'm your host, Bronte, for another episode. This week, we've got another really great guest on the show. She's a DJ and host. She works with Skylab Radio and Irregular Fit. And during the pandemic, you may have seen her daily updates where she was DJing and giving the numbers that went sort of viral. I really love everything she's about, and I really enjoyed doing this interview too.
I'd like to start the episode by acknowledging the traditional owners of the land on which I'm recording, the Yugambeh people, and paying respects to elders past, present, and emerging.
Today on How Do You Hustle, we have Aya Batonya on the show. She's a DJ and a artist, as well as a creative director for Irregular Fit. How are you today?
Yeah, I'm good. Tuning in from Gadigal country. So I want to pay my respects to elders past and present and acknowledge I'm on stolen land. But I am good. I feel like recovering after a big work week, but it's been an exciting time. So I can't complain.
I've followed you for ages, and I saw on the weekend, I think it was maybe yesterday, you posted like all of your sets, and I had secondhand anxiety just seeing that. So what, like, walk us through it. Like, you're coming in hot out of lockdown, that's for sure. So what have you been up to?
Oh, what have I been up to? I feel like a lot of things. So this past weekend, I played 3 different shows. The one on Sunday, I run a night called Irregular Tit Social as part of Irregular Fit, like in collaboration with A Bit of Tit. So we have some really lovely emerging and more established like queer artists of color come through across a spectrum of genres. It's really lovely having like live music and DJs. And then I kind of do like sneaky sets in between, just because I always love playing music. Whenever I can, I'm always happy to play. Then on Saturday, I DJed at an event with Dennis Salter and Melody, which was at Greenwood, which was by Untitled Group. And then I played a show with Sherelle for Astro People on Friday. And prior to that, I was in Melbourne for a week doing some stuff with Resident Advisors, some workshops, but then also DJing at Pitch.
Amazing.
So it's been a wild last 2 weeks. Like, it feels surreal, like, especially after being in lockdown and with all the COVID stuff. And
brutally,
like, I'm not gonna lie, like, a bit of, there's definitely like, I can relate to the secondhand anxiety because I feel it firsthand. Just living really slow and slowing everything down, and then all of a sudden just having things happening all the time. Like, it definitely just feels super surreal.
It definitely went from 0 to 100, I feel, as well. But that's amazing. And it must be so nice to be back into it. Like, can you just explain the feeling of like going back and doing it for the first time after all these lockdowns? Like, what was that feeling like?
Like, I feel like there was a lot of conflicting feelings. Like, it was so exciting and so lovely to be amidst people, like-minded people that love music and love dancing, but then also, yeah, like not being used to playing to crowds and having to readjust my mindset to playing to a crowd versus making a mix online, or just, yeah, it's just been an interesting adjustment. But I've been talking to people and I feel like everyone's sort of in the same boat, going from, you know, being homebodies by force to now all of a sudden being back out there and doing it all again.
Yeah, it's definitely an adjustment. It sounds like you're throwing yourself straight back into it, which is the only way, really.
Gotta go through it, over it or under it. Yeah.
Definitely. So I guess going back to that, like your comment on being a bit of a homebody during lockdown. So I remember, yeah, I guess I started following you probably like early in the lockdowns, but one of my friends was sharing your content and you somehow like sort of fell into this health advisory role at one point, not literally, but I remember at one point you were doing your posts and you were doing DJ sets and had the numbers in the background. And I thought like it was such a good way to kind of get that message out there quickly in a way that was engaging for young people on social media. What kind of gave you the idea of doing that? And like, how crazy was that experience?
Yeah, it was a wild time. Like the series was called Blends for the People. I started doing it. So at the time I was working, I've left now, but I was working for like in a state government role. And so a lot of the work that we were doing was like, I did community engagement. That's kind of my corporate-y background, but also like community organized, community oriented background. And just having quite a strong and deep understanding because of my job about the impact of COVID, because we were doing COVID tracking and stuff, it made me really concerned about the fact that people weren't really looking at the numbers. And like you said, like, I totally get why people were fatigued. It was so much, it was overwhelming. I kind of developed this weird thing where I would just always look at the numbers. Like I just couldn't help myself. Yeah, really caught up in it. And so I just felt like, I understand music is a great way, like as a DJ, I have a strong understanding that music is a great way to bring people together, but also to relay messages. And so I thought, why don't I just use music that people like before COVID, like BC times, and mix it into stuff that I like and see if people sort of engage with the numbers that way. So at least they're across what's happening. But it was also like really cathartic for me to do as well, like to sort of feel like I had to get up and I'm doing this thing, gave me a bit of like purpose each morning when it felt like everything had just been thrown out of the water, like all of our routine, whatever that was, and normal, it was just gone. So it was nice to have that to like actually output as well.
Yeah. And I think like during that time, it was, you know, the only community, I was in Melbourne, so you were in Sydney. I think the only community we had was sort of that online community. So something like that just made you smile a little bit. Like I think your mixes were so fun and your, you know, your dancing, the colorful outfits, like it just gave you that kind of check-in each day that just, I guess, showed you that there's, you know, other people out there in the same boat. We're all in this experience together at the same time. So I thought that was really nice, but I guess like, were you overwhelmed by the engagement you got back from that? Because I feel like at one point it got kind of crazy and you're like, just so you know, everybody, I'm actually not a health advisor on this. So maybe like also check the website.
Yeah, it did feel a bit overwhelming at times when all of a sudden, like something I'd just done, like, I feel like my following doubled and that was very overwhelming for me. I still feel like it is.
You're like, who are you all?
Exactly. Like, where did you come from? Like, thank you, but also, whoa. Yeah, it was definitely overwhelming. But like, I'm so grateful that people were interacting with it and they enjoyed it. But yeah, I had to sort of have moments where I had to check in with myself and sort of be like, okay, you can only do what you do. Try not to get too caught up in things. Cause you know, sometimes I feel like it's very easy on social media to end up feeling like you're obligated to do things, even though it was like, I'm just doing this to get numbers across. That's it. I don't want to feel like, you know, I have to do anything I do. Cause for me, it is also about fun. So once it gets beyond that, I get a bit, yeah, it's a lot. But yeah, I guess like at the end of the day, really lovely that people interacted with it. I still go out and people will be like, oh, I watched that series. I loved it. And I really appreciate that. It's still overwhelming though. It's still very overwhelming.
Yeah. And like, I guess, how did you find that, you know, being a musician, being someone who obviously like performed beforehand with your, you know, sets and things like that, how did you find going from doing that all the time to you know, sort of the back end of what you're experiencing now, like to trying to readjust what you do to fit the new world you were living in. Was that quite an adjustment at the time?
Yeah, it was super challenging. Like, I think across the board, we were all wondering if this, like, we were ever going to get the scene back, if this was just going to be the reality that we were stuck in lockdown, because there was definitely a lot of points where it felt like that.
It definitely felt like that.
Yeah, so it was a huge readjustment. And I won't say but, I will say and. And I think that I also learned so much. Like, I'm the sort of person, if I can't do what I'm doing, I'll just find something else that sort of aligned with what I want to do. But I just try to find different ways to channel my energy so I can keep myself going and not get too bogged down by the fact that we were living in a really arduous, and we still are to an extent. Like,
we still are, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was definitely a readjustment. And it was also, like, as someone that is kind of a homebody, like, I'm 30 now, so I've done my time of a lot of partying. I'm not like, I still like to party occasionally, but not like I used to. Yes. So it was kind of nice to also be at home and be able to do it from the comfort of my home. So, yeah, there was, like, pros and cons with
pros
everything,
and cons,
I guess.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah, and I know we're all over talking about it, but I do feel like it's sort of become this elephant in the room now where it's like, oh, don't bring it up. But it's, I definitely still feel it. Like in terms of, I will go to a big, you know, music venue or a gig and I will feel overwhelmed by how many people are there. Like, you can't ignore that we had months of kind of not doing that. So I think it's important to acknowledge sometimes. So what now? You said that you've obviously, you're not doing your previous role now. What's kind of on the cards for you in the next little while?
Yeah, I feel like I've kind of just delved fully into music now. Like, that's always been the thing that I'm, yeah, like, music is my saving grace. It sounds so cheesy to say that, but I feel that music's always been the thing that gets me through everything. And so I kind of made it, like, set an intention for myself to make this my full-time role. So I've kind of just been DJing a lot. I'm going to be throwing a party for Vivid in June, which is really exciting, called Planet Abundance at Mary's Underground. And then working on some other really exciting events as well. So mainly DJing, hosting my show on radio, which is called Club Abundance, which is kind of tied to the Vivid show. Yeah, and I've been writing a lot more as well, which is really nice. So writing about the arts and yeah, I guess, like, I have, there's a strong part of me that loves to, like, I feel like there's an intersection with it across all of the work that I do through A Regular Fit, through my music stuff, and also through my writing, which is kind of about interrogating why there isn't more equity and challenging, you know, systems that exist and trying to figure out new ways collaboratively, like with others, on how we can coexist together in a way that is equitable, that provides everyone with dignity, but also provides instances of joy and fun and community and care. So I feel like that's sort of where I'm focusing these days.
Yeah, I think that's so great. What are some of those things that you're doing to try and, you know, make that possible and make, you know, put that equity conversation, like, in every conversation?
Yeah, I think, you know, we all can only do so much as individuals. So I love, like, collaboration is a big part of how I try to affect change, like working with others, recognizing that, you know, because I've been in this industry, music, for an extended period of time now, I have certain privileges that maybe others don't. So I try to speak up and use my voice to sort of, you know, get other people into rooms that once upon a time I wasn't in either.
Love that.
Like, yeah, and then writing things, having conversations. I'm very action focused, which is why I started A Regular Fit in 2018, because I recognized that, like, it makes more sense to, yeah, teach others, exchange knowledge with other people, and, like, all of us sort of exchanging knowledge where we have strengths so that we can teach each other things and all grow together. So I feel like that's probably a large part of what my focus is, yeah.
I love that mindset. And I think, you know, I think that in everything you do, like, I was working with not-for-profits recently and doing communication for some of those organizations. And, like, you need to all work together to get things happening. I mean, I'm sure that there's people that can do things as a one-man band, but I think that the more we work together on things, the more that change is possible. And I think that's really, really cool. I think, yeah, everything you're doing is just blows my mind. So I don't know how you have the time in the day, but I mean, we all got to hustle.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
So what would you like to see, I guess, from this next year in terms of your like professional goals and the, you know, whether that is your radio show or whether it is some of the other, you know, little projects you have on the side, like, yeah, what, where are you setting your sights, I suppose?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting question. I feel like for me, one of my primary goals for the next 12 months is to have sustainability with my work. So to not have to stress about things and to know that I've always got myself, I can invest more time and energy into producing music because I'm not worried about paying my bills. Yeah. And also just like, I'd love to do more workshops with people across the board, like to learn from others as well as to teach them. Yeah. I don't know. I think it's like my end goal is always sustainability for myself so I can do what I love. Like, I feel like I don't really resonate with the saying, like, if you work a job that you love, you never work a day in your life. But I do feel that music is something that makes me really happy. And in the past, I've always sort of had some sort of supplementary job to sort of help sustain my music career. So I'm very invested in making this something that I can just focus wholeheartedly on. And even the last couple of months have been really lovely being able to focus on that. It makes me really happy.
Oh, I love that. And it sounds like it sounds like it is taking off for you. I can so resonate with that. Completely am realizing what you're saying about the sustainability thing. And do you have any advice for anyone starting out that is in the creative, you know, creative arts and music space? Like, when it comes to kind of knuckling down and trying to get some of that like consistency, what steps can you take?
Advice, like something that I learned. So this isn't the first time I've ever tried to go sort of full-time with my music. Like I used to work at SBS a little while back, like 2018. Wow. Yeah, doing community engagement there as well. And I quit that job and was like, I'm just going to do music stuff. But I'd realized that I wasn't where I needed to be yet to go into music full time. So like my situation now is so much different to then. I think that yeah, like I know people always say things like consistency and stuff, but I feel like the biggest thing is really just looking after yourself and like checking in with yourself regularly, because it's so easy to sometimes get ahead of ourselves, which is what I did the last time I tried to sort of do this full time, be like, I'm ready, I've got this. But there's so many moving parts with trying to go from working full time. And then often you end up working a lot more than you were in your full time job because you're just trying to make everything work. So I would say like doing research into whatever the career that you're looking to go into is, so that you know what your options are, where you could potentially get support. Building your networks, I think, is super important as well. Yeah, but I think it's different for each person because it really depends on how long you've been in the industry. And like, yeah, like for some people, they could be in it for like a couple of years and all of a sudden like they're set. And for others, maybe you've got other things going on. Like I talk quite frankly about this, but for me, my mental health has been a big hindrance in the past for me being able to like really focus on this sort of stuff, because I wasn't able to be as consistent as I needed to be with certain things or meet deadlines because I wasn't looking after myself. And I was kind of just experiencing quite intense burnout because I was doing too many things at once. And so taking a step back and being like, you know what is feasible for me to do? What can I do that's actually going to be able to pay my bills, my rent, etc.? Like, that's what I'm going to focus on now, but make sure that it's still stuff that I love to do and makes me happy, and that I won't feel anxious about doing or frustrated about doing in the future. And I feel like that's kind of where I've gotten to now with the work that I choose to do. And I'm in a privileged position now that I'm able to say no to things and not worry about saying no. Whereas I understand like that is a privilege and not everyone can do that. So I'd always just recommend like really reflecting on what it is that you seek and like how it is that you need to get there. And that it's also not a race necessarily, like it's more of a marathon and it ebbs and it flows. So yeah.
It's good advice, really good advice. And, you know, it's funny that that burnout conversation, it's something that has come up with nearly every guest I have. And like this podcast is sort of about, even though it says, how do you hustle? It's sort of more about the side hustles people do and what they're trying to do to make it in the field that they want to be in and do that, you know, in a sustainable way and in a, you know, ethical way. But yeah, like I'm just noticing that it's coming up more and more. And I think it's a conversation we need to get on the radar, because especially if you are doing like three different things, wearing three different hats, like juggling all these like side hustles and your normal job, like you are going to get burnt out. And like, I think you'd be hard pressed to find someone our age who hasn't experienced that.
Yeah.
Which is kind of saying something.
Absolutely.
It shouldn't really be like that. But yeah. So I'm sorry that, you know, you've experienced that as well. And like to hear that you've struggled with it and I can completely relate to that. And yeah, I really hope that now that people are talking about it, that we will see a bit of change and maybe like employers even be a bit more open to some of that change. But what do you think needs to change? Like, how do we even go about changing that?
That's a huge question. Yeah. I feel like from my own perspective and lived experience, I feel like a big part of it is slowing down. It's like we rush so much. We constantly have deadlines. We constantly have things that we need to worry about and all these competing priorities. And then we stress ourselves out with trying to like make sure we can get everything done at once. But I think even though I haven't slowed down that much in the last couple of weeks, I still try to take time throughout days where I focus on like unwinding a bit, like meditating, trying to check in with my body and myself. Like I just wish that employers would reflect more on how important it is for all of us to slow down, because there was this like rhetoric for during lockdown where we're like, we're slowing down, we're going to take it easier once things open up again. But then everything sort of just went straight back into it. And I get why, like people are nervous about whether things will shut down again or they need the income. But it's so important, like coming back to sustainability as well. Like if we don't look after ourselves, we can't do anything. And that's definitely what burnout has taught me in the past. It's like you can go super hard, but if you get to that point where you're burnt out, then you literally will have to stop for an extended period of time to recover. So it makes more sense for us to slow down and also like critically reflect more on things and how we can do things in ways that are more equitable for different types of people, because not all of us operate in the same way. So I think those would be things that I prefer as an employer.
Yeah, amazing. And like, just generally, like even in the music space, in you know, other career paths that you've gone down, like what would you like to see in terms of change in equality? Like, do you think that dialogue has shifted enough from employers, from workplaces? Like, what steps do you think need to be taken in that area? Because obviously, again, people are not doing enough.
I think there's a lot of different things that need to be done. There's a lot of different communities that don't get the care that they deserve within like the music industry. I feel like it's still very much dominated by one particular group of people. So I think like leadership, I feel like it always starts from the top down, right? In terms of actually affecting change. And when I say that, I don't want to invalidate any grassroots causes, because there's so many amazing people that do work at a grassroots level, at a community level. Having said that, if there's still sort of pushback from people in positions of leadership, then we're not really able to affect the change that's necessary to shift the entire industry. So yeah, I'm not sure. Like, I feel that there's some people doing amazing work at the moment to try to affect change through censuses and surveys and through workshops and, you know, consultation. Yeah. And I think that I'd like to see more of that, but just more action as well. Because I think a lot of the thing that I see a lot of is a lot of talk from people in positions of leadership. But then when it comes to actually actioning what they're speaking about, sometimes it means stepping down themselves and allowing other people to be in that sort of position. Those conversations, there's a lot of reluctance to step back and not be,
Yeah. And I like you have worked in that sort of government corporate space, that world. And yeah, you definitely see some who are doing better than others. And like, I think there is, I completely agree with you. There's things like quotas and like a lot of conversation, but yeah, I think there's so far to go in that space, but it's been so great to talk to you. I'm mindful of your time and, you know, not taking too much of it, but yeah, I'm so grateful that we finally got to catch up and have a bit of a chat and like, just keep doing all the amazing work that you're doing. And yeah, I think like on Instagram, I've noticed you're such a force to be reckoned with and you're like using your voice so loud. And I love that. And I love people who do that and who just like are quite fearless about it, which you are. Like, social media still scares me.
Don't get me wrong, I'm scared by it, but yeah, I do say some things. I appreciate that. Thank you.
No, I think now we want authenticity and we want people who are going to, you know, not just talk the talk, but, you know, get out there and make some change, which you're doing. So it's incredible. And if people want to find you on like any of your mixes or your website or on social media, where can they find you?
Yeah, I think best places to find me as of right now is either my Instagram, which is at iavatanya__, or my SoundCloud if you want to listen to my music. I think that's for now. That's where I'll send people. If you happen to be in town on the 2nd of June, we're doing Planet Abundance at Mary's Underground, which will be really fun as well.
Thanks for coming on the show. And yeah, it's been amazing.
Thanks so much, Bronte. It was lovely to speak to you.
Life has been very crazy at the moment. I'm currently starting some more study to just upskill, and I've taken on a couple of exciting new projects. So I'm really looking forward to sharing those with you. I'm thinking of doing some episodes that kind of go into my work with working with businesses and, you know, working in communications and PR and social media and giving advice to some of you that might not know where to start. I've got a bunch of people in the industry that I work with that are happy to come on the show and give you guys some really hands-on tips. So stay tuned for those episodes as well. They'll be coming on soon. And I'm also looking at getting some guest co-hosts on the show as well. So if there's anyone you'd like to hear from, let me know. Or if you yourself think you'd be a great guest. Every episode, I do a shout out to another podcast, Sharing the Love, and a podcast I recently listened to that I think you'll all love. I'm sure a lot of my listeners have heard of She's on the Money. And I actually listened to a couple of their episodes in the last week on budgeting. On the show, they just talk about all things to do with budgeting, finances. And I just find their information so insightful and just like really down to basics. I feel like they just put it in really bite-sized terms and like they really, you know, explain it in a way that is so applicable to each and every one of us. And I also love the stories they do with like guests that come on and share their money stories. So definitely one to check out if you haven't already. If you have any podcasts you'd like to suggest, or if you are a podcast and you'd like to get in touch, send us a DM on Instagram at How Do You Hustle. We'd really love to hear from you. But that's all we've got time for this episode. I'll be back again in another month. If there's anything you would like to send us or any suggestions you'd like for upcoming episodes, you can also send us a voice memo on our Instagram and suggest anything really. Just say hello. I'd love to hear from you. Let me know what you're thinking of the show. And you can also give us a follow on TikTok by searching How Do You Hustle. You can also show us some love by jumping on Apple Podcasts and giving us a rating and a follow. And the same goes for Spotify. And you can also write us a little comment. Thank you for listening, and I'll talk to you all next episode.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.